Bishop Burbidge has asked that the following statement is read all of the masses this weekend. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Virginia Attorney General announced this week that he will be investigating allegations of sexual abuse of minors by clergy, as well as how allegations of abuse have been handled by church leaders throughout the Commonwealth. Our Bishop and Bishop Nestau of the Diocese of Richmond recently published a statement addressing the investigation. On the Dawson website, you'll find resources as well as detailed answers to frequently asked questions regarding the critical issues we are facing within our church. Lastly, yesterday, Bishop Burbidge published an episode on the Walk Humbly podcast, during which he directly addresses the investigation and some of the questions he has received. All of these resources are available on the Arlington Diocese website. In addition to fervent prayers for all victims of sexual abuse, please offer your prayers that the church will be purified and made stronger by recommitting to a greater accountability and continuing to work for the good of God's people. Just to add to that, this is why Father Saunders and I added the Mary prayer, as we say it now at the end of Mass, as well as the additional First Friday Mass at 5:15 in the evening that we celebrate now once a month for the healing of those who have been abused and for the healing within the church. That we all are called right now to pray and to offer up sacrifices, that our church be cleaned, purified, and that it becomes the true Holy Catholic Church that it is called to be. Today's gospel, the healing of the beggar, the blind beggar Bartimaeus, is the last episode on Jesus' long journey to Jerusalem. And if you think about it, that journey began with the curing of a different blind man at Bethsaida in Galilee. And it concludes with this cure of a person similarly afflicted. As Jesus is leaving Jericho, the last stop, the last town before arriving to Jerusalem. In this way, the cure of blindness frames the journey that we've been going through at its beginning and end. And the arrangement goes and points out that while these two men suffered physical blindness, but Jesus seeks to heal the symbol of spiritual blindness of the disciples. As we've seen through the past several weeks, Jesus has been challenging them to grow in their discipleship, to grow in their acceptance that he is on his way to Jerusalem to die, to grow in understanding that they are called to be servants, not great authoritative political rulers. And the instant cure of Bartimaeus and his readiness to follow Jesus along the way contrasts sharply with the reluctance the disciples have in coming to terms with what awaits Jesus in Jerusalem, of what awaits him in his suffering and death, and their dragging of their heels in the manner of following him there. The fierce cure that took place so long ago in our brains, that man recovered his sight in two stages. At first, he saw only indistinctly, and then following further ministration from Jesus, he saw clearly. Taken symbolically, that two-stage cure reflects the situation of the disciples. They now know that Jesus is the Messiah. We've heard that Peter went and professed he is the Messiah. And so, in that sense, they have this partial sight. But they still can't fully see. They still haven't accepted what is to come. And then at the end of the gospel, despite this, we see that they fail to comprehend Jesus' ministry and involving him giving his life up for the ransom for many. And so we see then that they have to go make that trip, that journey back to Galilee. And that in that trip back to Galilee, that they again are able to see clearly with the ascension, with that full revelation of the Easter joy. In a sense, the Gospel of Mark is designed to help us believers make this journey over and over again until Jesus' sufferings and the sufferings of our own lives become part of a deeper understanding of the mystery of the Christian journey, of how it's through our suffering and uniting it to that of Christ on the cross that we're able to achieve our salvation. What happens to Bartimaeus in today's gospel highlights the contrast of how far the disciples have to travel on this wider journey of understanding. Presumably, he's there, he goes and says that he's outside of Jericho. Presumably, he's sitting by the gate. That by that gate, he's in this place of heavy foot traffic, of lots of people coming in and out of the city of Jericho. It's a prime place to do begging. If you ever come across a beggar, they always place themselves, or a gypsy, they place themselves where there's going to be a lot of people go by. And so he's gone and placed himself that, to be able to beg for the alms, to provide for himself. And sensing that large crowd, hearing that commotion of that large crowd, he goes and starts to call out, hearing that it's Jesus coming by. Going, making that great commotion, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so, like so many other desperate people of the gospel, Bartimaeus has to surmount a barrier in his attempt to get access to Jesus. That we see the crowd goes and starts trying to quiet him down, shushing him, trying to not let him get in their way of following Jesus, of shooing him away. However, the discouragement of them only makes him cry out all the louder, makes him surmount that difficulty, overcome that gap to where Jesus becomes aware of him calling out for help, stops and asks them to be brought over. And the gospel goes and highlights the energy with which he responds to that call of Jesus to come over. He goes and flings off his cloak. He flings off his only possession in the world, jumping up and going to Jesus. That physically he has nothing, and now he doesn't even have his cloak, his one sense of warmth, his one sense of protection. And he goes and gives that all up to follow Jesus. And what he does have is an acute sense of his own need and a deep reserve of faith, which has driven him to break through an unsurmountable barrier, to call out for Jesus, to vigorously get access to Jesus. And then we go and see Jesus' question of, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus' response of, Master, that I may see again. It may seem redundant that it's obvious this man is blind, that he needs to be cured of his blindness. But the request that he voices is one that all who would be disciples of Jesus have to make over and over again throughout their lives. Not in the sense of physical sight, but in the sense of a capacity to really follow Jesus with understanding of what his mission is truly about. In this area, all lack a capacity to see, which only divine power, God's grace, can remedy. That blind Bartimaeus represents our collective human situation that's constantly yearning for healing, yearning for liberation from all sorts of limitations and sin. That the blindness in question might not be necessarily a physical loss of vision, but we might have a spiritual ignorance that limits our relationship with others and with God. And hence, today's gospel teaches us to be free from this limitation. We must humbly accept it and beg Jesus to cure us of that. And second, by constantly reminding ourselves that our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, we must humbly ask for that help from Christ. So like the blind man in our gospel, we must cry out to the Lord in faith, Lord, that I might see. That we go to the sacrament of penance, go into the confessional crying out, Lord, I need to see. I need your grace in my life again. I need to be able to see you again, to have you united with my very being, with my soul. However, it's important to note that blind Bartimaeus didn't believe because he was cured. Or rather, he was cured because he had faith in Jesus, who said, your faith has cured you. The faith is very important in our daily walk and encounter with Jesus. To see is to have living faith in Jesus, our high priest. And like Bartimaeus, we must cast aside our mantle, our cloak. We need to cast aside those things which are burdening us down, weighing us down, and keeping us from being able to go to the Lord and follow him. And we need to realize that these possessions we have in our lives are superfluous in the bid to race forward to Jesus, toward Him. Never forget that Christ cannot be reached without sacrifice. That He whom gave sacrifice for all and a perfect sacrifice to the Father also asks that we sacrifice to reach Him. And that if we cast aside everything in this struggle of love and peace by which we are trying to spread Christ's kingdom, that in casting aside all aside, laying down our lives, Christ has already given us the promise that when we lay down our life for Him, He will give it back to us manifold. That He will give everything back to us when we lay down everything for Him and for the faith. So you never tire of praying, because God never tires of listening to you. So the good news today is that Christ, our High Priest, is always ready to hear and help us. He wants to see us again, wants to liberate us from all of our limitations in this life. However, like blind Bartimaeus, we must humbly call out to Him, "Lord, that I might see." The blind and the poor man called to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. And if we sincerely call on Christ in faith, He will also hear us. Because whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, filled with hope, let us acclaim what marvels the Lord has worked for us. Indeed, we are glad. Having received sight from our Lord, we must follow Him on His way. What Bartimaeus does in the gospel shows a model of discipleship and faith, that we must try to follow, to walk in His footsteps, to clothe ourselves in Christ's clothing, to become configured looking like Christ, to live out His example that He has set for us. This is the life of the sacraments and being configured to divine sonship. We must keep in step with Christ, working generously and at the same time uprooting and getting rid of everything that gets in the way. If you think what happens in the Mass is what Bartimaeus does, that we've called out during the penitential rite for His healing, for His mercy, acknowledging our limitations, our sinfulness, that we have committed sins, that we go and will profess our faith very shortly in the creed. And then we are called forward to Jesus in communion to receive His mercy, to receive His healing, His help, so He may enter in our very lives. And then we are sent forth from Mass to go and follow Jesus in the world, to go and preach His gospel, so that everyone may encounter that healing and grace that He comes to offer to each and every one of us.